Matt Bubala here on 720 WGN. Joining us is Cato Kaelin, who is making the whirlwind tour this weekend of Chicago.
I'm seeing everything, and it's having a great time. It's you know what? The city is phenomenal. It's fantastic. I'm from Milwaukee originally, yeah. So it's the same vibe, and the people are just, everybody in the Midwest is just too cool. Like yeah. You.
Yes.
Everybody here. Even security said, just walk in. We don't need to buzz you in.
Cato, let me ask you this. So I've heard you on other interviews that you've been doing this weekend, and you're so up, you disarm people so quickly, like you, and you're so good to people. And I wonder, is that just your Midwest vibe, Cato, or is that something you sort of developed because of what you went through? Because there's this, it's Cato Kaelin, and then you disarm people so quickly.
Wow.
That I wonder if you developed that sort of over the years, because like you compliment people right away, and you're so upbeat and so much energy, and I wonder if you immediately make people go, oh. Because you have this perception, Cato Kaelin.
Well, I'm not even aware of that, but I'm aware that my late father was in sales.
Okay.
He had a restaurant. He took people to Packer games. I always saw him doing that, and he always made people feel better. My mom was the same way. So 100%, it's how you were raised.
Yeah.
And I was raised with, six siblings. So, yeah, I was around happy people.
Yeah.
And I think when you're around that kind of thing,
yeah.
You become that. You know, the birds of a feather flock together.
Sure.
And it's a really wonderful thing. But, yeah, thanks for saying that.
Yeah,
And my job is that I'm on stage at, Wizard World.
Yeah.
And I'm around people. This is my 14th city. So I'm constantly around people. And I stay up the entire time trying to stay up.
Yeah.
And then go to the hotel and crash because I got to start all over again. And it's hard, man. Oh, it's really hard. But, yeah, I totally see a difference when someone, that saying, it's kind of hokey, but when people say paid forward,
yeah.
It really does work. It's like, if someone says, yeah, you look great today, you're going to think of that thought all day instead
yeah.
of something negative. So, my dad sort of told me that. He goes, I always make people feel better.
Cato Kaelin is at Wizard World Comic Con this weekend at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center, Thursday through Sunday. You're hosting some sort of game show or a show, or what do you
do? No, what I do is there's a main stage. I compare it to America's Got Talent.
Okay.
So I'm the host of that show in Chicago. We have the best of. We have. I can't think of all the names of the groups. We have music groups going up. Best of the 90s, 80s. We have magicians, like world-class magicians. We have jugglers. We'll have Second City from your city doing comedy there. It's constant. It's a revolving every 40 minutes. And then in between, I do 20 minutes of in the audience and do some trivia with Marvel or maybe with Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Or I'll have DC Comics. And we do that and we keep the audience going.
So you're a ringmaster all day long.
Exactly. Ringmaster. I like this. I am the ringmaster. Matt, I knew you'd wake up.
All right, Cato. Let's jump to this now. So I've been thinking about this. Once I heard I was going to interview, I'm thinking, all right, well, what am I going to ask Cato? I lived out in L.A. when everything was going on. I moved out of college for a couple of years. So
you actually
94
like,
through 96.
You look like a limo driver a little bit. People say that. You look like Alan Park.
I've always,
that's a compliment.
I worked in radio at the time, and the DJ called me the ugly Baldwin. I look like Stephen Baldwin.
You can actually look like a Baldwin, ugly Baldwin, too. And I don't think there is an ugly Baldwin. So you've got some, yeah.
All right. So I'm thinking about Cato. I'm thinking about that time and what life was like back then. And I'm thinking, okay, so OJ is going to, he got paroled. He's going to get out sometime in October. Your phone rings. And it's OJ. He's like, Cato, I need a solid, man. I'm getting out. I got to get on my feet. They want to know where I'm staying. Can you hook me up just for a month or two? You stayed with me for a while. I took care of you. Can you help me out?
Como? 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 Bye-bye. No, I would not.
What if that call
absolutely
came?
No.
Just be like, sorry, I'd love to help you out, buddy, but I can't. I mean, what would you...
Yeah, definitely not. No, that's my life from the trial from 22 years ago. It's done. I have no involvement with people. Not that I don't like the people. I
sure.
just moved on. No, the OJ part is, it's funny, Matt, because I really, back then, I never really, my life never revolved around the trial. It did for other people because it was always in the media.
Sure.
My life did not revolve around OJ. I have my own life, my own problems. So I never had like things circled on a calendar like, hey, Cato, look at this. OJ's parole's coming.
Right, right.
It just is because I heard it. So yeah. That's how I knew about it. And I was...
And you probably got a million questions afterwards.
And then
about
people
it.
Start calling because it come up. So it was more of the media making me aware of what's going on in someone else's life, not mine. And then I go, okay, so it's I guess the parole's coming up.
Yeah.
Because I am, honestly, Matt, I am so busy with so much going on in my life and all really good things. So it's not that it's really like a negative. What happens, a terrible, ugly, ugly tragedy, and everybody knows that. So I'm staying away, and I just want to be part of light. And the O.J. Simpson is not part of my life.
Yeah. You seem in a really good place. Every interview I hear and meeting you here, you seem like you're in a really good place. You wrote an op-ed piece for the L.A. Times a couple of years ago. They asked you, I think, for the 20th anniversary to reflect. And in that, you kind of said, you know, hey, I was a working actor. I'm struggling like everybody else out there. I didn't ask for this. It was thrust upon me. Was it sort of like the seven stages to go through to figure out how do I accept this as part of my life and figure out how to just...
Completely. I wrote something and I said, and it's my byline today, and I kind of put it in the humor with it, but my byline really is, never has a man done so little to be recognized by so many.
Sure.
And I laugh at that because it's so true.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I mean, I was a Kardashian before a Kardashian. And
before there was a lot of money involved in being a Kardashian.
Yeah, and
right?
I didn't associate... But... Everything happened to me the wrong way.
Sure.
And I'm aware of it. I'm aware of people who can have their opinion of liking me or not. But I'm the same guy before the trial as I am today. I'm the same. I was always happy. And I'm not going to change who I am for someone that doesn't like me, because I know who I am and I've got great friends. I still have the same friends from high school. And, you know, and look, I really believe that you just leave anything you do, you leave it better. And that's, like I said, it's all because of how I'm raised. But, yeah, in that op-ed piece... It really was about being thrust into something and how a person reacts to it. I remember back in the 90s about other doctors and psychologists going, if you need to see me, you must be suicidal. And I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I got beat up a lot by media. I mean, I really got beat up being a slacker or whatever, and also a freeloader, which I never was. I never stopped working, but there's nothing you can do about it. The article's printed. You just go with it.
Yeah. And you did sue somebody, and you got a settlement. I mean, there were some things you had to take action against. And I think people don't realize, Cato, because I was living out there at the time, it was a big deal nationwide. There was nothing else in Los Angeles at the time, though, right? I mean, the entire city. You take the Cubs World Series last year, times 10 is probably what that was like in L.A. at the time, right? I mean, that's
I didn't go out for almost a year and a half out in public. I was an introvert. I'm an extrovert becoming an introvert, which is horrible, because you really couldn't go out. You had it. It was constant. I moved about to three different places. I'd had notes under my door from tabloids or people of... knowing that I was there. So you know, you're a public figure. So that's how your life kind of became that.
When you were, because you were a working actor before, and you point that out, like, hey, I had my SAG card for a bunch of years. I was already doing commercials. And like most people in LA, you were a struggling actor. You didn't have the steady paycheck all the time.
Completely.
So you must have had some really interesting conversations with your agents or people who wanted to be your agent after this. And it must have been really tough for you. I just wonder, what were the conversations like where you're like, no, I don't want to be Cato. I want to be an actor. And everybody's like, yeah, but you're getting all these offers to come be Cato.
Yeah.
How did you reconcile that?
Well, it's certain things I actually would have to do if I, you know, I had to work.
Yeah.
I had. It couldn't be this, you know, one of the deadly sins of a sloth. I had to find work. So if it was something for Cato, if it was a comedy show like a Mad TV, which I love comedy, of course I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
So whatever it was, and then I did a radio show. So it was everything where I went to Wisconsin, Eau Claire, I had my radio show. So I thought, okay, this is what I went to school for.
Yeah.
So it was like those things kind of fell on. Of course I got it because I was Cato, famous from a trial. But it was an opportunity that I had to work. So, you know, to answer that, everything I did to this day, I'm still pursuing acting.
Sure.
I'm still pursuing my goals. I didn't change. I didn't one day say, I'm going to be a lawyer, where a lot of the lawyers during the trial actually got their SAG cards. And got into another profession and got their shows. And I'm still struggling to get all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the struggle's a little easier now. And I'm, you know.
Well, is it getting easy? It's funny because my kids watched, I have a 16-year-old, and we watched the movie last year and stuff like that.
The FX series movie?
Yeah.
Or the ESPN?
Well, we watched a little bit of the ESPN. We didn't get through the whole thing, but we watched the FX movie. And this week I said, yeah, I'm going to interview Cato. And he's like, wait, who is that again? And I thought, that's interesting. Is that good for Cato Kalin, that it's getting a little distance and now you're getting a little more of a chance just to be Cato Kalin and maybe it not be, OJ Cato, and just develop the brand, you know, on its own a little more?
You know what? I don't know. It's great that, you know, you talk to your son and find that's something I'd like to find out. I'm finding out that a lot of the millennials, it's they do know me because of FX or the ESPN show. But what I'm really noticing, which is great, is if you hear my name sometimes, I always see someone smiling. So I'm happy right there.
Yeah.
Immediately I go, oh, yeah, Cato. So they hear it, they're happy. the battle is sort of won already.
All right. So if you went back now, if the events were still going to happen as they did, the terrible, tragic events, as you mentioned, but you could completely extricate yourself from it, wouldn't change what happened. It would just change that was became Cato Kalin's life. Would you or would you say, no, you know what?
You know, it's a question I'm asked, Matt, a lot. And I answer by saying, I can't do anything about the past.
Right.
I can't answer the past. I can only do stuff that's in the present. I can only do what's happening in my moment now, in life now, and make things better. So I can't even go backward. I only go forward.
Don't even think about that. And I don't blame you. It's got to be tough to figure out, you know, how you do that from there. So you mentioned in the LA Times piece, all the stuff you went through. You mentioned an assassin's target. Did you really have somebody come after you?
Oh, yeah. I had a radio show. I had a security come up. I used to get death threats all the time. In the beginning, yeah, I was. They had to walk me to my car and walk me back after his shift. Yeah, it was crazy, crazy time.
Yeah, it really was a crazy time.
Yeah, in the beginning, I actually was scared for my life a bit, and then I saw it kind of eased off.
Yeah,
but yeah, because let's face it, nowadays, is there anything in life today that would surprise you? Nothing.
No, not today.
Nothing.
20 years ago, yes. Not today.
Today, the craziest stuff can happen. I mean, yeah. We're talking here and there's a spaceship behind you. I believe that's Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. You might be running with Mike Pence in 2 more years. Who knows? Anything could happen, right?
Exactly. So nothing surprising, especially with crime.
I think a light bulb just went off over here. He thought, yeah, maybe that is something. Yeah. Good Midwestern candidate.
Pence Kalin.
Hey, oh.
With the roles that you are working on now, you know, I was, are you a big football fan? I know you're a big Brewers fan.
Gigantic. Okay. Packer, but gigantic.
So I'm watching Hard Knocks last night, and John Gruden stops by the Bucks office, and he's talking to them about where they're at this year. And he says, but you know, the difference between 6-10 and 10-6 could be 6 plays. And I was thinking about you today and thinking with your looks and everything like that, you look like Brad Pitt quite a bit, honestly.
Your microphone just went out what?
And so I wonder, as a working actor, as somebody who's been working forever in L.A., do you ever think, I mean, I wonder if it comes down, sometimes it is just the right person, the right time, the right thing, the right time. Do you think that just outside of being Cato, just as a working actor in LA who's been there for 30 years now, is it that one opportunity that completely changes somebody's career? Or do you think that it's...
Great question. And Matt, so I'm here today because of the PR person, Daphne. Now, Daphne said, and it's kind of struck me, it's... She said, she'd never met me before. And she's in the car going, I didn't know what to expect of Cato Kalin.
Sure.
And this is her talking and saying, now he's one of my favorite people, of saying, you should have a show. You should have all these things. And I said, well, like, thanks so much for saying that.
Sure.
But it's someone has to know me. They can't have that image. They've got to meet. I always say this that to know someone is to love them. And it's true that you have to meet them and go, yeah, that's our host. And that's how I got Wizard World.
Yeah.
The owner saw me doing a gig and said, that's the host. And it's so funny because at one point I was kind of this pariah and I was, you know, outcast for no reason. And it bothered me so much because I'd never really hated people. And then I saw that there's hate for me. But now, like I said, it's changing and I want that chance to get that major, major gig.
Yeah.
And this little Wizard World traveling is changing my life.
Good.
Changing it by kind of like winning city by city people.
Well, you said you haven't changed in the 20 years since, but the hair has, Cato.
Yes, yes.
Do you miss the hair? You had like literally some of the most beautiful locks on a man ever.
I got your haircut.
You're age appropriate now?
I'm age appropriate. Well, I you know, when I'm done with the show, I definitely grow a little bit longer.
Uh-huh.
So right before this show, I get it cut. I usually get it cut once a month. But if I can still grow the locks,
yeah.
But I kind of like where it's going. People don't understand how hard it is. Fabio, maybe.
I was just going to ask you, like,
it's
how
hard.
Much work went into that? Because that was ridiculously,
it's too hard.
It was ridiculous hair.
It's really, really hard to maintain that. You can't, everybody can't be Brad Pitt and Troy.
Yeah. At the time, before everything, and you were just a struggling actor going on auditions all the time, did you ever get close to a part and they said, you know, you're going to have to cut all that off? And you said, yeah, no, I'll just keep looking.
No, that actually never happened. No,
you would have cut it off in a heartbeat?
No. Yeah, but I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a part, for sure.
Yeah.
Still to this day, I'll do it. You want me to wear a dress? Get one for me right now. Yeah, you call me Caitlin Kalin.
Reality TV in your future, you think? Or are you trying to stick to that? You've done a lot of it in the past.
Yeah, I sold, we'll see if it gets on air. I sold something called Wrong Place, Wrong Time. It's a crime show. Number one genre right now on TV is crime. And what that is basically, it's how people can get caught up in a crime they have nothing to do with, and they're ancillary to it, and they're on the sidelines of crime, of how your life changes in that moment. How, if you took that door or that door.
Who better to pitch that show than you, huh?
That's me, and it's we have quite a few people that will be involved in the show of how their life changed from heroes to people becoming hero, just people that had died in vain. So it's wrong place, wrong time. We'll see what goes on with that. That's my serious one, and I also now just signed a deal with the guesthouserent.com. I'm a spokesperson for that, and that's doing really well. And I'm from Milwaukee, and what better place for me to be a spokesperson for a law firm in Milwaukee? So I go back and forth, which I love. Yeah. I just love the fact that I get to go back to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I go back and shoot commercials for them.
And you're consistently working, it sounds like. Yeah, I mean, you have consistent work, and that's the dream of any working actor or somebody who goes to L.A.
Yes.
To work consistently and not worry about
The goal in L.A. is to actually get out of L.A.
Yeah. Have enough so I can just come into work.
Yes, exactly. Get out of L.A. and live somewhere else, and then go in when you have to.
Well, Cato Kaelin is out of L.A. this week, and he's at Wizard World at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center Thursday through Sunday. Come see him. He will say hi and shake your hand.
I love this town. $3,000. I'm waiving my fee. Matt, you better come down.